Leviticus 10. I mean, Leviticus 17, verse 10. Will you read, Harry?
And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity.
All we've talked about modern Christianity and its understanding of the blood or of the sacrifices or any of the thing, and the only part of it that is understood and are apprehended by most people is the fact of the blood in the doorpost in their houses while they were in Egypt, so the death angel, when it passed over, wouldn't kill them. But what in the hell does this mean? Why, first of all, why in every ancient culture was there a blood sacrifice? Second of all, why is it that the life is in the blood, and why are you prevented from eating the blood? What does it mean? This is part, remember there were seven Noachian laws that God gave Noah? Noah laws. Two floods.
Sounds like an Indian.
There was, one of them was, you can't eat the blood. Now that wasn't an issue before the flood, because they didn't eat animals. Everybody before the flood was a vegetarian. But what is it about the blood? Why does it say that if you eat the blood, you're cut off from the people forever?
Blood's for God.
What does that mean?
It'll take us an eternity to figure that one out.
There are two parts of an animal that you are always forbidden to eat under the law. One is the blood, the other is the fat. Now we'll get to the fat in its appropriate place here, but one of the great things about Leviticus is it repeats everything. And so if we miss a point or two in the process, we can pick it up on the next go-around. But what does it mean? What does the prohibition against eating or drinking the blood mean in our spiritual warfare? Our warfare is no longer against flesh and blood, but it's now against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Well, I can think of a whole bunch of natural reasons. The only thing I can think of that might possibly be considered spiritual is that by drinking the blood, you set yourself up as a god, since blood is always a sacrifice given to a god.
I think maybe it's part of what I dreamed about last night, that by eating the blood, you would be reinforcing, I mean totally reinforcing the belief that life comes from any place other than the bread and wine. You'd be taking life into you rather than just the bread and wine. I mean, the life of Christ.
Well, let me get down to where you live.
You're welcome.
The reason for the prohibition is, well, first of all, the blood always signifies the life of the soul.
In all cultures, it does it, right?
As opposed to the life
even
of the spirit.
Even here.
As opposed to the life of the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the reason that you're prohibited from eating the blood is because you are prohibited from the soul benefiting from the sacrifice.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And this is going to blow us away when we begin to see its implications. The soul cannot benefit from the sacrifice. Because that of the soul is cursed.
How does the soul benefit any less from one of the sacrifices where you do eat part of it?
Because you're apprehending who you are. That's why in the blood and the wine, the wine, the purpose, the mystery, the same word occurs. You know what? The word blood is the word dam, D-A-M in the Hebrew. And it means that which you get when you squeeze something. when the organism is squeezed to the point of, in the Greek word, you remember the Greek? For tribulation, for suffering, for all of one, it's the word thelespis, which means taking something from a wide expanse, squeezing it into a narrow, singular way, well, that squeezing process is called thlespis. It's translated as tribulation, it's translated as suffering, it's translated as chastisement, all of those things. But that's why the blood, and it's therefore the word wine is always, the word is dam. The word for wine and the word for blood are the same. Now, the wine is symbolic of what?
The blood.
Of the mystery. Of the bride.
Right.
And all of the grape goes towards the end of creating the wine. The grape doesn't benefit from the experience. Now, I hope some of you have begun to taste a little bit of the implications of this. The soul life cannot benefit from the sacrifice. That's why you are prohibited from drinking the blood.
Now, I'm having a very hard time understanding this.
Wait a minute, then.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask a question, because it doesn't do you any good to go on if I don't know what you're talking about. It is the point of it being a sacrifice is simply that the blood is normally a sacrifice? Because after all, if a hunter goes out and kills an ox, it's not a sacrifice, necessarily. I don't understand how the soul benefits from the sacrifice. If I go out and shoot a moose, it's not a sacrifice that I see. So if I drink its blood, am I benefiting from the sacrifice? How am I benefiting? I don't understand. Is it because blood
the
is
always
the sacrifice?
The reason is that you didn't see that the moose was the sacrifice. It sacrificed its life.
Well, okay, then the opposite side of that is I'm going to eat its meat. Am I not benefiting from that sacrifice?
Not your soul, not in spirit.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Thank you.
Yeah, what, expand a little on that, because that's, you know, why is this just the blood, just because of this place where it says the life is in the blood, for the flesh is in the blood, as opposed to the flesh itself.
Let's think about something. All of the sacrifices that are talked about up there, from a burnt offering, meat, peace, trespass, and sin, all those offerings at least have the propensity or the potential to have an animal in them. Some of them have an animal plus grain, some of them have, you know, but at least, okay, what happens to the blood in all of those sacrifices? It's poured out at the altar. See, last night the reason this stuff is hard to understand.
It's because we're stupid.
No. It's this thing we went through this last night. It's because you cannot describe the ocean while you're in it.
Are we drinking blood sacrifices right now?
Constantly. That's all you've ever done.
It's take the life of something else to benefit yourself.
I want to review something that we studied last night because I think it'll help bring you out of the ocean so you can view it. In Bananas, we've been studying Abraham for a long time. And we just got finished with the offering up of Isaac and what that meant. But in the process of the life of Abraham, there were 7 consecrations. 7 being the perfect mystical number, which allowed the Sabbath, the rest, to enter in. It's the completeness.
What is consecration?
Dedication.
Well, it's
set apart.
Well, it's probably a bad word for him if you're using consecration. There were 7 definitive points or stages of the spiritual identity of Abraham that required a moving to a different, totally different level than he'd ever been even aware of existed before at each point along the process.
We were at
one last night. But we're at a biggie tonight, maybe the biggest of all. And that's to understand the blood and what it means when we take the bread and the wine and we say with the wine, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine," which is the blood. Now, these 7 consecrations of Abraham, the first thing he had to do was leave his land. Now, since our warfare is no longer against flesh and blood, there's not a physical leaving required. But there is a leaving of land just as definitive as happened in Abraham in your vessel. You must leave the reason the land is left internally in this context is that you have returned the land to its rightful owner. This is no more yours. This vessel, this body. So it's been left. You've left it. Now I could go on and tell you all kinds of implications about what that meant, which if you want to, you can go listen to the tape from last night. The second thing that he had to do is he had to leave his kindred. Now, believe me, almost everyone that I've ever met that has called themselves a Christian has never even left the land. They're still dealing with the land, and that's fine. I mean, some of you have to deal with that at a certain point. But you now have to leave. Secondly, he was required to leave his kindred, his family. And we've talked about that enough to some of you are still battling that one. The third thing he had to do was he had to leave Lot. Now, Lot signified possessions or riches. He left him. Now, that doesn't just mean physical stuff. That's easy. I'm talking about possessions here, ideas, opinions, value systems. The fourth thing he had to do was agree to follow God. That sounds so simple. But have any of you ever done it? Fifth thing he had to do was he had to stop making plans for Ishmael. Ishmael is John Rutledge. Ishmael is, well, all of us after the flesh. Sixth thing he had to do was he had to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Divorce. The bondwoman, if you believe Galatians 4, and her son is symbolized the law. Any place where you got the law. And we talked about this a great deal last night. The law is, internalizing now, the law is if you are faced with a need, you sit down and say, okay, these are the steps that I'm going to take to meet that need. That's the law. You haven't yet cast out the bondwoman and her son. The seventh point that he had to do was he had to offer up Isaac. Now, he had to offer up Isaac to the point, and it's only after Isaac is offered up that, in other words, you have to offer, you have to dispel, you have to empty yourself of the promise. Now, it's only after offering up Isaac that you've gone through all these others can you begin to be of those who he said, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. At every other point along that line, you're in the temptation of man or the temptation of the Gentiles, and it's a meaningless temptation. It's already been judged. It's already been condemned. So you're wasting your time. Now, it's only after we pull ourselves out of all of those seven positions that we can understand Jesus when he said, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. By the same token, it's only after you've offered up all those seven points that you can understand why you can't eat blood. And why because you can never benefit from this, the soul life can never benefit from the sacrifice. Now, the reason this is so difficult for you to understand is because this is all that you have ever done. You have never been one time in your entire life up to this point in a position where you weren't eating the blood. And so that's all you know. One molecule
this
of it.
This kind of covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can gain life from anything.
The only way to not eat blood is to be dead.
I know, but you can't get by any longer with saying, you know, we've used that one as license for 7 years.
What? Maybe you have.
He's just now getting started. No.
I'm dead.
No, I mean dead. You mean physical dead. I mean dead.
Okay, let's look at some other places.
There's got to be a way to do it while we're in this message.
Let's go to Hebrews 12.
Jesus didn't eat blood because it says he kept the law.
Just let if you take away nothing else from tonight, just let it this one. But the reason that, well, you've already said it, the reason that you cannot, the reason that the eating of the blood is prohibited is because the soul life cannot benefit from the sacrifice. Now stop thinking in terms of segmenting. Don't think in terms, if you get into this and you start thinking there's any place that you are where the sacrifice isn't taking place, then you won't understand any of this. I mean, if you think, as Tom is questioning, if he went hunting and shot something, that and then therefore that wasn't the sacrifice, you've missed the point of the whole. I mean, that you've missed everything I've ever told you about, that your life is in the New Jerusalem. You've missed everything I've ever told you about, that most of the time you're sacrificing to demons.
Is that's the same thing as
It's
it's where they intersect.
Yeah, when you see the blood put stuff, then read this one. Hebrews 4. 12, verse, well, read it. I don't remember. I don't want to look at verse. Read it, Harry.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say something that you're probably going to argue with me with, or some of you will. But in about half or more places in the New Testament, when the word sin is used, it should be translated trespass.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
But
anyway, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against trespasses. Or you can say sin if you want to, if you can only apprehend that much. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What the hell is that?
Well, when you said trespassing, that rang true. I mean, as far as the things that I want to control me, that I want to not give up, you know, the thing of Lot, you know, when you said trespass, that rang true.
You know, the sin offering is gone. That's finished.
I mean, that's where my warfare is with, it's not what's impossible, it's that which I may believe is possible, but am unwilling to admit.
I don't quite comprehend what you're getting at, because the thing that I've always understood about this is that sin is what I am.
Trespasses is what you do.
Trespass is what I go out and do. Am I supposed to resist the things that I go out and do? Is that what this thing is saying?
You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against trespasses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you haven't gotten into the test far enough yet to shed some blood over it?
No.
The fight
has nothing to do with you shedding blood. It has to do with you seeing the blood. The area where none of you see this is in the area of sex.
Right.
The area where none of you see this is in the area of the idea of holding on, what it means, what this means in relationship to each other, in judgments. If you read, I challenge you to read Ezekiel. In to understand this concept of shedding innocent blood, and it's a bloody city, and it's a bloody town. Because what it is, and it all connects to this point.
Where are those?
Well, all over Ezekiel 24, Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 44. Remember what we've said 1,000 times, that our function in life is no more to do, it's to see. To see and to therefore apprehend, and to therefore be as he is in the world, so are we, therefore to complete the reason for time and space. Now, every time I get on something like this, where there's this new concept, allegedly, or a different view of it, or a different apprehension of it, then everybody gets all antsy. Why?
Because it's clouds moving. It's time to break camp and move.
No, there are some basic things that are so simple. It's just, you're dead, the cross, and there's all that, and that's simple. But when it starts getting into these other things, it's like Michelle trying to read an Omni magazine. It gets so complicated to me.
Yeah, but I'm saying to you, though, that all it is, I guarantee you that nothing that I will ever say to you about the doctrine will ever be any different than the cross.
Oh, I know, but I want to understand this as completely and totally as I understand the cross.
Okay, well this is the evidence that you don't completely and totally understand the cross.
I did.
Okay, you got a witness. But I want you not to get on these things with a feeling of apprehension in terms of, oh my God, what am I going to do now, or how am I going to do this, or what shall I do? I want you to get onto it with a feeling of expectation that this is another arena that God is opening up in order that you can apprehend more clearly and see more perfectly.
You hit this again and again about how we war not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we discussed these things that existed in the Old Testament as flesh and blood, things that people touched, like the laws about drinking blood. And then you say things about this thing, this new thing, which is the same thing an old thing, said in another word, and you talk about the way it was in the flesh, and then you tell us in the next sentence that it's not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And I found myself very much at the point where I asked my first question about hunting, of you had told me all these words, and my mind was going in circles trying to find a frame of reference. Do these words mean anything? Or am I going to sit here for 1 hour and hear lots of words that sound great, but I can't put to anything? And so I asked the simplest question I could think of about hunting, because I know it's not against flesh and blood, but I got to have something I can pin it to so I can start finding another point.
I'm going to draw a graph.
You may well have to go back to third grade.
Hear me. What I'm talking to you, what we're talking about, is I want you to come out of the understanding that learning is linear, or that seeing is linear. I'm saying to you that in that mass of confusion and running around, that you'll be apprehended by truth, rather than trying to apprehend it yourself. I could never have... Do you realize how outlandish 90% of the stuff... I don't know where this stuff comes from. If I sat down and tried to learn it... But I sit and I wait. And I say, God, show me. And in an instant, the meaning of the blood becomes clear. Or in an instant, the meaning of the sacrifice. Or in an instant, the meaning of the offerings. It can't be apprehended. My purpose is to destroy you. You got it right. It's supposed to be a whirlwind. Until you hunger and thirst, until nothing else in the universe save revelation from Him Himself will satisfy that need.
But then you've
answered. I don't like to draw charts. I don't like to draw pictures, because every time they're an impediment to revelation. occupation.
That, you know, in a funny way, this is exactly what we're talking about, because, you know, the idea that it's something that can be learned is eating the blood.
That's right.
But on the other hand, you've answered your own question, because in the midst of that whirlwind, I'm confused.
Right.
Not antsy, just confused. I don't
but
like
stay in the weakness.
And stay in weakness.
Okay. Want to ask any more questions?
I heard Doug say something on a tape from a couple of weeks ago about two different words in Greek for knowledge or learning or something. That one is Latin, you strive after one and gain it, and the other one just comes over you.
Ratio and intellectus.
Intellectus corruptus.
Yeah, I think the thing that's got
The function of preaching is intellectus interruptus.
Actually, it's
that's
backwards.
Very, that's
good.
A that's another kind of interruptus.
We preach intellectus interruptus.
No,
I mean, intellectus is the word that means the kind of knowledge that comes from revelation. But, I mean, it's not exactly what you think. The ratio is the one that's what we normally think of as intellectus.
Okay.
But we thought that, though, because we've talked so much about that the seed must fall on the ground with understanding, and understanding, it's got to be understanding, understanding, understanding.
Understanding has to be offering up Isaac. That's the work of faith. Understanding only comes in the work of faith, not in the knowledge, the gnosis of faith. You're not going to understand this until you obey the light that you have.
Well, see, this is one of the things that confuses me. You know, you work up to this thing of finally being able, you know, finally being able to say, "Look, I'm back in the third grade. Would you draw me a picture?" And now you're telling me to shut up.
James 1.
Does anybody have an Alka-Seltzer Plus or anything?
James 1.
I think I do. I want to get back to how you've not resisted and the blood striving against sin.
What happened?
Does anybody have an Alka-Seltzer?
God, that's funny.
Here we go.
James 1.
Where is James?
It's
right
up
here. James is like the next page over from where we were.
I think, to me, it's just absolutely fascinating that we're talking about the whole subject tonight is eating the blood, and everybody's sitting here trying to eat the blood. I mean, it's trying to intellectually apprehend the doctrine.
Yeah, that's
ratio.
Funny.
That's a real knee slapper.
And what else can we do?
Okay, James chapter 2, verse 14. Wait till we get everybody in here. James chapter 2, verse 14. John, would you read it?
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works?
Now think about this as it's reading.
Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith.
Now,
stop
there and see that the being warmed and fed isn't talking about. That's just the Gentile kind of stuff. That ain't even entering the process yet. Now he's saying, okay, look at that as an example. Now let's talk about faith. You see, that's an example after the flesh. Now let's talk about faith. You understand what he's saying? Okay.
Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone.
Keep going.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
I love that one.
But wouldst thou know, O vain man, what faith without works is dead, that faith without works is dead?
Now, the example of the work of faith. Only one example of it.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?
That's enough. The work of faith is the offering up of Isaac. It's the seventh consecration of Abraham.
Expand on that symbolically.
That's the emptying of self, the mind of Christ.
But the offering was the seed, the promise.
Promise.
And to offer that up means
that you're not going to try to do the will of God.
It means one thing. Now you can finally understand what he said, deny yourself. That's what it means. Aperdiomai, which means give no thought to your own self, this vessel, in any dimension.
Yeah, but it's not Ishmael. He's not offering Ishmael.
No, of course not. That's gone. Yeah. This vessel and this promise.
Yeah. So that's
giving
the
point. Giving up the true promise. Giving up.
Giving up as, I mean, you understand? I'd love to interview some of these success preachers over this one. I mean, it's the abandonment of self.
Of Christ.
Yeah, but right, because yeah, that's right. The only thing that's left.
It's manifest in it, through the outward appearance of not taking thought for self.
That's right. You haven't offered up Isaac as long as you're concerned with self or what others think about you.
Yeah.
Now, my point, and this is, maybe I'm not connecting very well, but it's only at the offering up of Isaac that there is the shedding of blood or the potential for it. Therefore, that's only at that point that the potential for understanding the blood exists.
So why are you teaching them? Because you definitely don't think we're doing that.
So does anybody have a little bit of?
Yeah, I want to get back to you've not yet ministered in the blood, because I always thought that's really neat. Because I always thought that meant
your body's gonna bleed.
No, like Christ did, like he resisted in the garden.
No,
and he bled.
No.
That's what I thought it meant.
That's what I thought it meant.
You've not yet resisted like Christ did in the garden when you swept it. That's all. But this
oh
is really,
God.
This makes
where did that come from?
Everybody.
We all believe that.
Everybody.
Well, let's pause. Who believes that?
Okay, well, we're going to pull in what the scriptures mean now?
This is much better. I like this.
We know now we were sadly mistaken.
That's what it says.
How could you been so blind to our deception?
So I'm gonna continue my thought on this though. That what you're saying about seeing the blood is when you see yourself in a trespass or whatever, like Larry was saying, you haven't taken it to the point where you see that the blood was.
You haven't seen the blood.
You've seen the sacrifice. And the,
you haven't
so therefore,
you haven't seen his.
Therefore, you're still
sacrifice.
Yes.
Okay.
Not
so,
yours.
Yeah. So I mean, in the spirit. The shedding of blood that you reach is you see that identity.
I know, but what I'm saying to you though is once that is seen, you've taken it to the end, then that thing that's bothering you will have lost its power because you've seen the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we should
have said that first.
That's true. You
should have said that 7 years ago.
Family wouldn't have thought it meant this way.
So whatever's bothering you, just see that it's covered by the blood, the sacrifice.
Well, I know, but it's not just see that, it's to...
Whenever you put
it's
just in that, it's
perfect in work.
It can't be right.
That's right.
Yeah. It has to be made perfect in work. And that's letting it go all the way through.
It's the same thing James says, and you said it again a different way, in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. This one is good. This one might blow your minds if you haven't heard it before. So, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, the word endureth just means to abide. It's the word meno in the Greek, which means to abide in. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now again, in this case, I'll bet you, you know, there's no way to prove it, because it's not really the translators, and even in the original manuscripts, they didn't apprehend this difference between sin and trespass and the offerings. So I'm convinced that in the spirit, I know it, that this says trespass.
Yeah,
but anyway, and trespass, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That the process, this is the way that you see the blood. This is the way that you see that the soul, that you cannot eat the blood. It has to be taken all the way to the end and seen as death, because the blood is revealed only at death. Now, modern Christianity takes that and they preach it, and they say, therefore, you shouldn't think dirty thoughts, and therefore, don't go to dirty movies. And
so therefore, don't go to dirty movies and say nasty words.
But the Spirit says, if you say the don't part of it, then what you are doing is you are eating the blood, and in that process of eating the blood, you're giving life to the soul. And the soul sacrifice is of no value to God, because it's will worship. That's what Colossians is talking about. So your attempts at not doing something, and the whole religious world's attempts at not doing stuff, is eating the blood of the sacrifice, because it's providing life to the soul.
Because you think you have a righteousness by not doing so?
Right. And you might as well go ahead and, you know, when that day comes, you should have enjoyed yourself.
Now,
wait a minute. Now, You have to understand this, that all the attempts at not doing something and all your attempts of trying to be this way or that way, trying to do this or that, are simply eating the blood, because you're offering life to the soul.
Not progressing on to the death that you're supposed to.
Now, in this, we see both in James, in this first part of it, that the enticed and death and all. See, Christianity tells you, okay, you don't want death. God says you better have death, mother. You better resist unto the shedding of blood, seeing the blood. Because if you're not doing that, you're pouring the blood of the sacrifice on some other place than the altar.
Yeah. Well, this is just what you've always said.
Well, I know, but it's neater than anything if you see the implications with regard to blood.
That thing about trespass is just totally... It is. And the part about in James, you know, those kind of things they've only had some kind of a... They've served in will worship.
Amen.
You know, without understanding the trespass and shedding of blood.
And let me tell you, you might as well have gone out and, if you don't, man, if there's anything that you want to do, and you're restraining yourself because of anything, you're eating the blood. Because you're not seeing its death. And if you're restraining someone else from doing it, that's when God begins to call you the bloody city. And you haven't covered the blood in the dust, but you've let it, you've been proud of it, and you've placed it up on the rock. Read Ezekiel in these areas. I feel like I'm, again, we're in an arena that I feel like if I start any more, that I'll leave you all behind or something. I don't mean to say that arrogantly, but I want you to consume what little that you have in this area right now.
Okay.
Wait a minute, it's not your turn.
Oh, Ollie, I understand all this and the blood, but the part that got me that I don't understand is when it talked about that God doesn't tempt.
Well,
I don't get that.
There's two different words for tempt there. One is the one tempt is to drop you in the
okay.
We'll do a word study on it. Don't worry about it. It means he doesn't tempt you. It doesn't take you to a place where there's he will. There's always a place
of escape.
He doesn't drop you into the middle of the Dead Sea with a millstone around your neck.
I saw something in that where God doesn't tempt you with evil because he creates evil and good. He can't even get into that realm because he is evil and good. So he can't tempt you with something that he is. It's just a different ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, it's like we talked about last night that most of our activities in life would be as though, how can I say it? What I used last night, that St. Louis, Neil Longwood, did the Cowboys
Neil
beat
Longwood.
St. Longwood?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Okay, Cowboys beats St. Louis on Thanksgiving Day at Texas Stadium. Well, it would be like Neil Lomax coming in tonight and hitting a home run and saying that he's doing something good. In other words, it's the wrong game, it's the wrong time.
Yeah. So nothing to do with
it. You know, I mean, he's and nobody's there watching him. I mean, the game is already over, it's gone, but he's there hitting a home run, and the game was won a few days ago.
That's actually a good analogy.
But what we do and what the religion does is we continue playing the wrong game at the wrong time. God doesn't give a flip about
this. He didn't even see this stuff.
He doesn't even know about it. The lights are out in Texas Stadium. Okay. Can't see through the hole. Okay. So maybe we've come to a little more appreciation of what the offerings are manifested or represented in all of the offerings are manifested in Christ. Both the blood and the bread.
I know you don't want to hear this, but how come we can't eat the blood but we can drink this blood?
What?
Why is it okay to drink this blood?
Because this blood is sanctified. I'll show you in Deuteronomy 12.
Besides,
read Deuteronomy 12 and you'll understand it.
How can you take it for your soul?
This blood, the reason that everybody is... Wait a minute, I got to show you something. I can't go any farther without showing you something. Everybody's drinking blood. They're either drinking the blood of Christ or they're drinking the blood of the wrath of your condemnation. Because of this. Okay, I'll show you. Revelation. I'll just read it. Don't go there. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. This isn't something that's going to happen. It's happening. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, there's all kinds of stuff that we can tie into that about. Everybody's drinking blood. It's the same thing. None of this stuff is optional. Everybody's praying. Everybody's paying tithes. Everybody's offering an altar. The only question is, are you doing it to Jehovah? With understanding. So this blood that we drink is the only blood that is worthy. Because it's the blood which manifests itself in the fact that there can be no
life to the soul in this.
Somehow this ties into a part of the dream I had last night in which I saw that we can only eat this bread and only drink this wine. But anything else isn't real. It's an illusion.
Right. So, I want you to see not something that you should or shouldn't do, but I want you to see another dimension of what Christ is. Okay? When we take this. Now, the only way you will take this unworthily, if you eat the bread and drink the wine unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For this reason, many are sick. Many are dead. But now I want you to know, the only way, because you don't discern the Lord's body. Right. Now, when we take this, we're discerning more of Him. Discern simply means to see. We're seeing more of Him. And as we go through the blood and the offerings and the sacrifices and all these things, we will apprehend and see or discern more and more and more of the Lord's body in the simplest day-to-day activities. So tonight when we take this, we're going to see or discern more of the Lord's body than we did last time.
There's no life to the soul, but what I'm seeing is this comes, if it comes this way, it's not right. If it comes this way, it's okay. It's like life comes from the spirit to the soul. But if life comes from the soul to the spirit, then it's...
Well, it can't be.
It doesn't work. But, it works because that's the God of this world.
Right, but that's why the soul is considered worshipped by the religions of the world.
Yeah, and then it's the counterfeit spirit, which gives experiences. But in the death that we know through the cross, then life comes through the spirit, and that feeds
We are one body, one... that's why either is joining the Lord as one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Can everybody drink the wine? Eat the bread. That same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the bread of life from your earthen vessel. He said, take, eat. This is my body. This is the fullness of all of the offerings.
You know, I don't know if this holds up or not, but we just ate the bread, and the bread's dry. And we just ate that, and that's in there. But this is the life, and this is out here right now. But when this goes in, the bread and the wine are combined, and the life and the body are one and dissipate.
Amen. And he took the cup and gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine, which is, in the Hebrew, it's blood. This is what we're drinking, it's blood, dam. He said, This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sin. Remission of trespasses, the remission of sin, etc., etc., etc. This is the blood of all of the sacrifices, of all of the offerings. And this is the only place that there is life. Because we've discerned more and more of Him and less of us.
It feels like that union tonight.
Amen. To life.
To Him that we drink.